Hello, this is the eighth bit of the Wikipedia Weekly. I am Durova. I will be your host this time with great thanks to Private Musings and Phil for technical assistance. We have scheduled at a different hour this time because we've had some requests from some of our European Wikipedians, and this has presented certain technical challenges. I'll explain them now, and then we'll get to the introductions. Skype is a very, very popular service in the Middle East, and they get their heaviest traffic during the times when those are prime hours for the Middle East. Europe is kind of close to there, so in order to accommodate our requests and try to get the best, most reliable service possible, we've chosen something that's late evening for Europe, and several Europeans have been kind enough to join us. So we'll start the introductions now. Private Musings, would you say hello?
G'day, folks.
And we also have Dorf Trüffel from Germany.
Hello.
And AGK from Scotland.
Hello, folks.
Could you say hello one more time?
Hello, folks.
Wonderful. Phil, one of our regulars.
Hello, this is Phil.
And we also have Raul654.
Hello, everyone.
And we have one other individual who may be listening, maybe speaking. Seddon? Okay, I guess we'll have a listener there. Okay. So today on Not With the Wikipedia Weekly, we have several things to go through. We'll try to get to all of them. Wikipedia's license, the arbitration committee, 2,000 featured articles, the influence of Wikipedia on the real world, talk page clerking, is this worth pursuing, the edit worrying work group, and there's a repeat of that. So in order to start this off, since you're with us, Raul, would you mind telling us a little bit about the wonderful landmark we've hit with the featured articles?
Okay. Two nights ago, we had our 2,000th featured article. We were at 1,995, and I promoted five more that night, putting us at exactly 2,000. The five that were promoted were red-billed clow, a type of bird native to Ireland and Great Britain. Lord of the Universe, a documentary film about Prem Rawat. Walter de Coventry, a ecclesiastic from Scotland. Maximilian, the Roman Emperor. And El Señor Presidente, a novel by Nobel Prize-winning writer Miguel Ángel Asturias. The last of these, the El Señor Presidente, is a very interesting article because it was generated by a university project. A professor, Dr. J.B. Murray of University of British Columbia, took his Spanish 312 class, a class on Latin American literature, and he assigned them the job of going in and improving Wikipedia's articles on Latin American literature. And this is the first time that a school project has ever produced a featured article. And this is particularly kind of newsworthy because, you know, a lot of people are talking about how Wikipedia, how academics should come to accept Wikipedia and, rather than vilifying it, participate in it and make it better. And this very much fits into kind of that whole paradigm.
Did they get a grade for the? Are you aware? Did they get a grade for their project, Raoul?
I'm sorry, one more time, please?
Did they get a grade if their professor said it as a project?
Yes. If they produced a featured article, then they were in groups, and anybody in a group that produced a featured article would automatically get an A+ in the course.
That's fantastic.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I mean, it makes intuitive sense to me that a lot of students would be more motivated to write something and really put in their best effort if it goes up and the world can see it, instead of one professor or even a grad student
sees
it for
an
hour, marks it up, and gives it back to them.
A lot of school reports, they get written, the teacher reads it, then they go into the garbage bin. They never get read again by anybody.
Exactly.
This is kind of a way of putting them to use instead of just, you know, dumping dumping them. Nobody ever reads them after they're written the first time.
There's a whole new wiki there, actually, isn't there, when you think about it? A kind of paper, you know, term paper wiki or school project. But that's a different angle, I suppose, not one to pursue. But it's great that they've worked together collaboratively to produce. I read it, and it was pretty cool. Incidentally, the little birdie, which I took, because as it seemed that was the last one you mentioned. It may have been alphabetical originally. So
since there was no true 2000th article, because they were all promoted simultaneously, people have been saying, well, you know, really, which one is the 2000th? And that the bird article, hold on, which one was that again? It was
Is it red-billed chuff? That's how I thought it was pronounced, but then
red-billed cho, or however it's pronounced. That was the last one I decided to promote. So if you want to be, you know, if you want to really, really want a 2000th article, that was the last one I decided to promote. But I think they could all be equally validly called the 2000 featured article.
And just for our listeners, in case they're not familiar with this, Roel, you do run the featured articles. You're the final word in that, so to speak. Is that true?
I pretty much run the process, choosing the ones that appear on the main page and kind of refereeing the process as a whole. In many ways, it kind of runs itself. You know, people. The reviewers and the nominators are really what drives it, and I only have to come in if there's a conflict.
Well, it must be wonderful to reach a landmark like this. How long do you think it'll take to reach your 3,000th? Do you have a prediction?
I was asked this the other day, how long it would be till 3,000. A minimum of 1 year and at most 2 years.
Okay. Now, our next item that we have here is Wikipedia's license. And I understand, Dorf Trofel, you had a few things to say about that?
Come again. I'm sorry.
Oh, Wikipedia's license possibly migrating from GDFL to a CC Creative Commons variant. Would you like to explain what that means?
I wasn't the one who... would talk about that.
I think that was
okay.
Yeah,
I think I can take a crack at explaining it if you want.
Go for it.
Okay, well, right now Wikipedia is licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License, the GFDL. The idea is that it's produced by the Free Software Foundation, which also makes the better known GNU Public License, GPL. And the idea was to do for documentation what the GPL does for software, which is make it free to distribute, require that if you change it, you have to make it available in an easy-to-use format, you know, the preferred editing version. And at the time that Wikipedia was created, it was the only game in town, the only free license for technical documentation. Now, since then, we have the Creative Commons licenses produced by Larry Lessig and his Creative Commons Foundation. I think that's what it's called. And so the idea is that they want to go in now and retroactively make the GNU Free Documentation license and the Creative Commons licenses compatible with each other, so that instead of having what's called a walled garden of a bunch of good free works license under one document or one license and a bunch of free works license under another and no migration between the two, the idea is that you can kind of merge them and have them, you know, mutually compatible. And we already do this to some extent by having a GFDL license text with Creative Commons pictures in it. But the idea is to make them completely compatible.
Now, as an administrator on Wikimedia Commons, I deal with multiple licenses. Now, we don't accept every kind of Creative Commons license. We accept roughly about half of them for pictures. So could you explain why it is, if this doesn't get in too far, that I could license a picture under any variety of Creative Commons?
It would be one specific Creative Commons license, the share-alike, no derivatives license. Because that's the one that is more... I mean, it pretty much says almost everything the GFDL says.
Did anyone else want to address the licensing issues before we move on?
Yeah, I just a tuppence from what from looking at some of the chat that's gone around the list. I think there's a bit of a well, if you look at it carefully, Wikipedia's always had a what you might call a what I believe anyway. Wikipedia's had quite a loose relationship to its licensing. There are various sort of things that we've broadly sort of not really worried about being absolutely compliant. The big difference
well, here. The problem with that is that the GNU Free Documentation License was intended for like software manuals, things that were going to be printed. Its application to electronic web documents is not pretty, to say the least. A lot of them, you know, the idea of a cover sheet has no meaning on a web document, and yet it requires a cover sheet to be distributed with all documents licensed under the GFDL. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
It's not a good fit for what we do, but again, at the time we picked it, it was the only game in town. That's why there's and we're pretty much the only ones who do use the GNU Free Documentation License. So
yeah, it's not a good
a big push to
I was just gonna basically it does I totally accept that it's the reason that there are some inevitable well, they're not necessarily violations, I guess. They're just as you say, it just you know, the wording of it doesn't actually apply. It doesn't make sense. There's no clear way to do it. There is an issue, though. When you, I know that in there's an interesting one with the French Wikipedia, which is that they you can't basically there's restrictions under French law in that work that has a certain license can't be transferred without express permission. Or you know, this is I'm not a lawyer and I'm not French either, so I'm not all over the issues. But I know that it's come up in that project that it might be either illegal or at least legally problematic to sort of retroactively change a license.
To be perfectly frank, I don't think they'll ever be able to change the license. Now, there is an escape clause in there. The license does say this version of the license or any future version. So if a future version of it were, if they were to say, well, GFDL 2.0 is the Creative Commons license, that and the Free Software Foundation agrees to do that, then the escape clause kicks in. But to actually go back and change it, go on.
Well, I thought that that's kind of the direction that they're moving, to try to make those two licenses fully compatible. Is that not true?
That's exactly what they would have to do. Yeah, but they're not going to change the license. It'll still our text will still be GFDL 1.0 or any future version. And the future version would be the Creative Commons license.
Okay.
And to finish the thought, the other interesting thing is I think it's correct that that Jimbo is on the board of the Creative Commons Foundation. So there's a connection there that he's very much involved in and is aware of, and I'm you know sees the benefits of. I think it's fair to say that Jimbo's broadly speaking in support of this sort of this shift. So it's you know with that kind of support, it's quite likely to eventually come up in some way or another.
All right. Well, moving on then. Our next topic is the Arbitration Committee. So, Raoul, this might go back to you again, since you're a former member of it.
What about it?
Well, the question is, how's it doing? What is it for those of us unfamiliar with it? How would you like to introduce what it is?
Let me explain the historical context. That might make it a little easier to understand. Back in 2001 and 2002, Jimbo did all of the high-level administration by himself. You get a persistent troll, and admins were strongly discouraged from using their own judgment. I mean, I really can't say it any other way than that. That there was this big idea that, oh, we can't risk censorship, we can't have admins exercising discretion now, So they would essentially hand all the problem users to Jimbo, and then he would ban them or sanction them or whatever. The problem is that Jimbo doesn't scale very well. And to that end, they just said, well, what we're going to do is we're going to form a committee of members of the community, and they're going to do it instead of Jimbo. And so that's how the Arbitration Committee was started. And this
and
is
that
about
was in early 2004, I thought it was that it started.
No, 2003. They started mentally forming the ideas for the Arbitration Committee and writing the dispute resolution process in early 2003, and then the committee. I'm sorry, you are right. 2004, and then the committee
started